The world is going through changes. Changes happening at a speed that we have never seen before. This is leading to disruption, chaos, panic, fear, hysteria, and a turbulent economy and marketplace. How do you protect your wealth in a turbulent world? How do you invest for cash flow and alternative assets to escape the rat race in times of uncertainty? How do you decentralize yourself, your family, your community, your business, and your investments to become sovereign and escape the matrix? If you are looking for strategies, tactics, and techniques to escape the rat race and matrix, you are in the right place. My name is MC Lobsher, and this is Cashflow Ninja. This is Cashflow Ninja. I'm MC Lobsher. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Cashflow Ninja and spending a most valuable resource, your time, once again with me. Everything Cashflow Ninja is at CashflowNinja.com. We've got three podcasts at CashflowNinja.com. Cashflow Ninja, Cashflow Investing Secrets, Reset Investing Secrets. You can also grab a copy of my book, The 21 Best Cashflow Niches. You can sign up for our newsletter, The Best Cashflow Niches Newsletter, in which I share every single month for a price of a cup of coffee. Don't blame me, blame the Federal Reserve, a brand new well-researched cashflow niche. And if you're a business owner and an investor that's looking to protect and build wealth during turbulent times, and you need a mastermind where you can network with like-minded business owners and investors looking to do the same, you can join Cashflow Nirvana, my mastermind and inner circle, at CashflowNinja.com. I've got a fantastic show for you today. I'm joined by Josh Lawler, and Josh is going to share a brand new cashflow niche never before shared on the Cashflow Ninja show or any of our other communications. This is incredible. I was fascinated when I learned more about this niche, which Josh is going to share, which involves renting out your personal residence for film shoots, photo shoots, and commercial productions. Now, Josh is also going to share a strategy in which you can rent out your personal residence for film shoots, photo shoots, and commercial productions that delivers a six-figure tax-free income stream. Josh, great to have you on the show.
Good to be here. Hey, MC.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on the show. For folks that are not familiar with you and what you do, can you just please share a little bit about your background and who you are?
Sure. So I started my career in financial services, technology, worked for a number of large companies. About 7 or 8 years ago, I started dabbling and investing in real estate. And the catalyst for me was a bit of a health scare, actually. So, you know, I can still remember the day. I was sitting outside on my deck with my wife having dinner, glass of wine, and I got a call from my doctor. Doctor never calls me. And he said, Hey, Josh, just, you know, looking over some tests and some things I want you to look at, want you to come in for. And so this kicked off a whole, you know, 6 to 8 months of all kinds of tests. The good news is, you know, happy ending, no issues, just some abnormal testing. We ruled out a whole bunch of things. But during that time period, really got me thinking about wanting to expand, you know, develop passive income. So I ended up during that time period investing in some single family rentals in the Southeast. So the Atlanta market, Jacksonville, et cetera. From there, I also invested in some small multifamily apartments in upstate New York. And so, you know, tried to grow passive income there, continued to work, et cetera. But so didn't that was kind of the extent of my real estate investing, right? Single family, small multifamily, did a live-in flip at one point. But what I'm most excited about is a niche that I've gotten into over the past few years, renting your home for film shoots. So I think like a lot of people, you know, I had never heard of this, right? It was really only after we we built a new house. So we had moved, same area. And originally we were going to do another sort of gut renovation. We had been through one before. It went well. So we were planning on doing it again. And then we ran into some issues with our town. So the previous structure was a little bit too close to the street. Every architect we talked to said, you'll be fine as long as you don't make it worse. Famous last words, right? And so we presented our plans to the town. They said, no way we're going to approve the renovation that you want to do. You know, if you want to do it, you're going to have to knock the thing down and start again. So ultimately, that's what we did. And it worked out well. But because we had to, obviously, we couldn't live in the house. We had to find a local rental. And at the time, there weren't really any available rentals nearby in our area. The only ones available wanted, I think, a 2-year lease. And we said, no, this project's going to be done faster. I'm telling you this, MC, because I haven't told you this before. I didn't get into it, but it's kind of an interesting catalyst for how we got into this. So,
yeah.
I've also got a couple kids, right? And so they're in school. And so this rental that we found was technically maybe about, 50 feet outside of our school district line. Not a big deal. Everyone renovates. The area that I'm in of the country has a lot of old housing stock. People are always renovating. When you renovate, you've got to move out of your house temporarily. Not a big deal. So, shortly after our teardown and we had moved out, we got a letter from the school, a very threatening letter, basically saying, hey, it's come to our attention that you are not living in the district. And again, this is a public school, not private. Like, it's come to our attention. You're no longer living in the district. And, we really need you to come in for a meeting to sort this out and talk through it. And we kind of looked at it and said, oh, this is, a mistake, not a big deal. We've been here for years. Our kids started kindergarten in this district. And so we came in and were really treated like, like we were some sort of criminals. And we said, look, this is a misunderstanding. We're not moving away. We're just, the town wouldn't let us rent. We had to tear down. We'll be back in the house when it's built. This is just a temporary. And they were adamant. And they said, I remember this is like, a few weeks before Thanksgiving one year. And they said, you've got two choices. Either you kids have 2 more weeks in the school before they have to leave the district. Or you can pay tuition. Right. So this was essentially a government shakedown of us, right? Kind of holding our kids hostage and saying, you can either, switch your kids into this other school district for the 5 or 6 months remaining until your house and then come back. Or you can pay us, pay us tuition. And so, my wife and I, we've each had, thinking back to our own childhoods, we each switched schools. It's no fun if, if you're a teenager, got your friends, no teenager wants to change schools, especially if it's not permanent. And if you're just going to, it's going to be for 6 months or 9 months, and then you're going to be right back. So we kind of bit the bullet and we paid the extortion. Over the time that it took to ultimately build the house, and this is also overlapped with the beginning of COVID. So residential construction was shut down, which extended it longer, during which time they squeezed additional tuition out of us. And so, it was kind of like, geez, like we just had this big outlay of like literally tens of thousands of dollars, right, in tuition. And around that time that the house was, we were back in the house, someone said, that's when we first learned about film shoots, right? And someone said, oh, got this new house. It was pretty empty at the time because we had just moved back in. And someone said, who was a little bit familiar with the industry, said, have you ever thought about, kind of film shoot rentals? Because it's like a very, it looks like it might, and we knew nothing about it. But we said, oh, we've just, maybe it's a way to make back some of that tuition money that was, extorted from us. And so that was kind of a factor in deciding to let's try this out and learn about it. So that's a little bit of a background of kind of like how we got into it, sort of where we got to today.
So let's get into this, because I think people are on the edge of their seat, because this is essentially, spoiler alert, a way to add a six-figure income stream tax-free, if done correctly. Of course, I'm not a tax advisor. Please consult your own tax advisor and CPA. but the strategy was fascinating. So if you can start from the beginning, how this works, tell us a little bit about this niche. Sure. So people just, you know, they rent out their houses for a film shoot. You know, how many hours, how many days, you know, if you can touch upon the details a little bit, just sure. Let us know how this works. Give us an insight to this world.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the first thing to talk about, MC, is when people think about film shoots, right? You might think of feature films, right? Sure, you can do that. That's not the approach that I take, right? When I say film shoots, in most cases, what we're talking about is one-day shoots that are either a video or photo shoot for a commercial production. So think companies that are creating content for their website or running a commercial. And so we've had, you know, all kinds of shoots in our house, anything from, you know, startups, breakfast cereal startup to, you know, a water company to a, you know, we had, you might recognize some. So, you know, Zillow came and did a sort of a training, you know, training videos for their site. Another company might recognize Lululemon, right? They bought the mirror, that fitness device, and they kind of did a shoot to create content for that. And I think it's important also, MC, to just from the start say that a lot of people, and we thought this too, you might think to do shoots, like I have to have a incredible home or I've got to be within a 50-mile radius of LA. Not the case. So I think, you know, one of the big myths in film shoot rentals is there is no right home for film shoots, right? The key thing to think about is that every shoot has unique requirements. So, and actually I'll share a story of a time we didn't get a shoot just to drive this home, right? So we had an inquiry at one point from a company that matched parents with childcare providers. And they wanted to refresh their site content. So they came, they did a scouting visit. They brought, you know, a handful of people, walked around, took a bunch of pictures, checked it out. They said, let us go back. We'll get back to you. A few days later, the producer called and said, look, we loved your house. But the look that we're going for, we need it to look, you know, like a home that's got little kids, that's a bit, you know, essentially a bit messier, a bit more clutter, a bit more lived in, right? And, you know, our house was newer. And so I share that story because I think it's such a good example to illustrate that the home that's sought after is really dependent on the requirements of the shoot, okay? Just to further drive home that point, I'll just share one more story of another time. Unfortunately, we had a flood, a big plumbing disaster, essentially. A water filter under our kitchen sink kind of exploded overnight, flooded the entire first floor, right? We had to rip out everything. And of course, during this time, we're getting shoot inquiries and I'm responding and just saying, geez, I'm really sorry. Thanks for reaching out. But, you know, we had this flood. We'll have to get back to you in a few months when everything's repaired. But I was super surprised during this time when one of the producers that reached out said, oh, that's no problem. We're actually doing a shoot for this utility monitoring company, right? They produce these utility monitoring devices to monitor your electricity, your gas, and your water, right? To detect leaks and things like this. And they said, yeah, we'll just, you know, we'll set up in the basement. And actually, do you mind if we get some footage of your destroyed first floor? Because we can show people what happens if they don't buy our device. So that's actually a bonus for us. So there's no right home for shoots. I think the other thing to keep in mind, MC, is in terms of other myths, right? You don't have to leave your house. So, you know, unlike a Airbnb where someone's staying over, you know, you don't have to vacate it, and actually recommend that someone stays in the house during the shoot. Okay. So that's kind of another benefit. And then I think you were asking, like, how does someone get into this? So, you know, there are, and they've been growing, there are a number of platforms online, right, that you can find to advertise that producers will use to search for locations. They're certainly not all created equal. And actually, you know, I've kind of put together a list of, you know, what to look for in a film shoot rental listing platform. I can certainly share that with you, MC, and maybe you can share it with your listeners. But, you know, what you want to look for in a platform is a number of things. One, you want to make sure that it covers a broad location. There's a lot of platforms out there that are very geographically specific. So you want to make sure that you find one that's sort of very broad. I would also recommend that, you know, you don't need to pay, right? There are a lot of platforms out there that'll want to like, hey, pay us some fee up front and we'll put your home up and we'll list it. I've tried that. In my experience, you actually don't need to do that. So the free platforms work. I think, you know, another key attribute that you want to look for in a listing platform is that pricing transparency. So you want the ability to price your home. Not all of them have this. And I find that this is just a time saver because we're all busy, right? I think, you know, on your show, you talk about time as our most precious asset, like, you know, all the time. And so you want to be able to, you know, eliminate sort of productions that don't have the budget, right? That are going to lowball you. And so that maybe we talk a little bit. I think something else you asked about is just kind of let's talk about the actual money, right? This is another huge benefit of film shoots that I found. And, you know, I mentioned that I do have some traditional long-term rentals as well. And so I have a sense of, and just to give you and your listeners a sense, you know, the same single family house that might rent for, you know, $1,500 a month, say, on a long-term lease, that you might be able to rent for, say, $300 a night on Airbnb. That same house, you could probably rent for, you know, $300 an hour, right? A very kind of, you know, medium cost area of the country. And so $300 an hour. And the typical film shoot that I've seen is probably about 10 to 12 hours a day. Now, in that example, you know, the pricing would start at $300 an hour. And I say start at $300 because the better platforms out there for listing don't just allow you to enter one price, but you want to find a platform that has tiered pricing. And what do I mean by tiered pricing? So if your starting base rate is $300 an hour. So, and by the way, you know, I live in a high cost area of the country. So my base rate is $600 an hour. Okay. So just for reference, I'm using $300 because it's probably for some of the, you know, middle tier or kind of lower cost regions of the country. The beauty of it, tiered pricing, is you can define your charge based on the size of the shoot. By size of the shoot, I mean how many people are going to be in your house. It's a proxy for the level of disruption. So maybe say a 1 to 10 person shoot, that's your base rate, $300 an hour. But you can define, say, 11 to 20 people, bump it up to $400 an hour, 20 to 30, $500 an hour, and up and up, right? So, you know, most professional shoots are going to be bigger than 10 people, right? I mean, there are pros and cons, but I've found that the typical shoot that we have is on average, usually 20 something people. But again, you can define what you, that's the, one of the things I really like about film shoots is it's so flexible, right? You define what you want. You define the hours that you're going to do this. You can even define, you know, the minimum number of hours that you're going to do this. And there's nothing that says you have to accept every shoot. You can kind of find out if there's anything that you're not comfortable with. You don't have to do it, but there are ways we've learned sort of the hard way, like how to screen guests to make sure that we have what I would characterize as professional productions, right? As opposed to the less professional. And what I mean by less professional. So, you know, we did a music video early on, right? And I love music, like everyone. But yeah, these guys, they arrived like 3 hours late. You know, it was just an unprofessional experience, kind of disorganized. So look, I think that what we've learned over time is, you know, we've set up some minimum number of hours, because I think if you try to just jump in and you know, you might be excited and just want to see what you can get, you're going to get inundated with requests. So, you know, when we first started, we kind of underpriced. We didn't know how to price it. So we sort of priced relatively low compared to where we are now. And like immediately we were getting inquiries coming through, and but they were inquiries for, hey, I need the space for, you know, 1 hour. And just for people listening, you know, a professional film shoot, it takes an hour just to load the equipment in, right? And then it takes another hour to load out. So, you know, I think you wanna make sure that, you know, I would avoid and steer clear of 1 to 2 hour shoots. You know, we actually have a six hour minimum. Obviously, we make exceptions, you know, depending. At one point, you know, Amazon reached out for kind of an odd one. It was just, you know, one person, so very small. They wanted to test some sort of device in terms of measuring rooms. And I said, you know what, it's Amazon. I'm going to break my rule for, you know, how small or period of time. And of course it went flawlessly. It was fine. So, but yeah, so, you know, look, it's been successful. I don't know if you want, I mean, we can touch on sort of the, I don't know, some of the highlights. You know, we've made the biggest 1 day shoot we did was over $11,000. You know, and that's, again, by following, as you alluded to, the Augusta rule here. What is that? You know, pre-tax equivalent of like 15 grand for one day, right? I mean, that's not every shoot. I would say our average shoots are, you know, kind of closer to the 7K range. But again, depending on the size, when they're smaller, they're easier, right? Less disruptive. So yeah.
I want to take a moment to share something very important right now. Are you trying to figure out how to protect your savings from the banking collapse, which has already started, and the coming financial crisis? Most banks will fail. Deposits that are not insured by the FDIC will be lost, and there will be bank bail-ins, and this collapse in the banking system will lead to chaos in the financial system. Banks also provide loans to real estate investors. So what do you think is going to happen to lending in the event of a banking and a financial crisis? You can be proactive and position your savings to protect it, and also have access to it to use it to buy discounted assets by positioning it in your own banking system through the infinite banking concept strategy. Producers Wealth has put together a presentation at yourownbankingsystem.com where you will learn how to position capital outside of the banking system and the Wall Street casino, just like the ultra wealthy, to protect it and create a pool of tax-free liquid capital to capitalize on the massive opportunity to buy discounted assets, which is coming. You can access the presentation at yourownbankingsystem.com. That's yourownbankingsystem.com. For the bigger shoots, just to do the math, if you do, let's just say 12-hour days, which is very, very common, and your baseline price was at $600 per hour, so it's 12 hours per day times $600.
But remember, that's a small shoot too. So I'll let you finish your math.
So that's what, $7,200 right there, right? $7,200 for that shoot for that day. And if you do it for 14 days, you know, and again, if you're listening to this, look up the Augusta rule where you can rent your personal residence to your business for 14 days per year. And that rental income is tax-free to you, and the business can obviously pay for it and write it off. Again, not a CPA, not a tax advisor. Please verify. But that is essentially the gist of the Augusta rule. So $7,200 for that shoot that day. So if you do that times 14 and you do the Augusta, that's over $100,000 tax-free. And why I was really excited to have this conversation with you and share this with folks on the podcast is just think of, you know, we have single family investors, we have multifamily, we have mobile home park, self storage, we have investors all across the board. Now think of the time and effort and energy if you are the operator to generate $100,000 of just, this is net, right? After everything is settled, there's a lot of time and energy and effort involved in that. So, you know, I was thinking with regards to, well, this isn't an upfront investment. You have a house, you know, obviously the investment is your time and understanding, learning and doing it properly and modeling, you know, the blueprint of someone that is successful doing it, like such as yourself. That's the investment, right? Yeah. But relatively very, very low startup costs that someone can then use and generate income from a property that they are living in already. And if you have an Airbnb that we're now amidst a Airbnb slump or bust or crash, whichever way you want to look at it, this might be another way to just add an income stream to that property. So that's, you know,
yeah.
It kind of blew me away the first time I heard about this.
So Key, yeah, you just touched on, you know, a handful of really, really key points, right? I mean, I think just that benefit of not like the upfront cost, right? You already have the asset, right? So let's come to Airbnbs in a second, but just for your primary residence, you already have it. But it's underutilized, right? It's not really working for you. And, you know, particularly, you know, in this environment, so, you know, interest rates are up, lending costs are higher. You know, and I think there are a lot of people out there who are, you know, hesitant about dipping in. Maybe they haven't made their first investment yet. Maybe they're, you know, analyzing, or maybe they're still working to saving up the down payment. You can jump in, you know, and the only upfront cost that I would, and it's not even mandatory, but I would recommend it, is professional photos, right? I think that will set your listing apart, just like any other listing. You want to invest a couple $100 in professional photos, right? But that's it. Like I said, you know, the platforms that I recommend are free. I don't recommend paying for to get listed. So that's free. And then, you know, the short-term rental piece, MC, that you mentioned, I think is also key, right? You talked about the slump, you know, regulations are changing. But, you know, even if you run into problems from a short-term regulation, film shoot rentals are regulated differently. So, you know, depending on where you live, your town, there might not even be a film shoot rental policy. A lot of towns do have, and this is important to be aware of. You want to be aware of your local permitting regulations around film shoots. And most municipalities do have some sort of policy, because it makes money for the town, right? And it's actually kind of a funny story. So we actually, after we started doing film shoots for about a year, and we did a lot, and we kept under 14, but it was enough to sort of raise, kind of get the attention of our town. And so about a year into our film shoot journey, our town upgraded their and revised their film shoot policy. They sort of had an old, you know, like a very old, low, it was like, you know, $150 permitting fee. And, you know, they bumped that up to about, $1,500. So, So I think we kind of influenced through our activities, the local regulation, but local regulation shouldn't scare people off. Right. I think that, you know, all of the production companies that we work with, they're totally used to working with towns and, you know, paying a permit fee. Permits will actually protect you. You know, and I definitely recommend if you're thinking about doing this, if your town does have permitting requirements, you should follow them, right? It's going to then, if there are any issues with any neighbors or anyone in the town, everything's above board. You have the permit. There's nothing anyone can do. So, yep.
So if you're listening to this and you've got a couple of questions, I think we've already hit a lot of the questions that people would have. The first thing is, can anybody do this anywhere? You know, right now in this digital world, everybody's online. People are living everywhere. Companies are everywhere. So, you know, you don't have to live in New York, LA, or Chicago to get this done. Anywhere in the country. Can any house qualify for this? Would be another frequently asked question, which you addressed too. You know, you talked about that you renovated your house, so people are thinking, oh, it's got to look nice. No, it all depends what they want to use it for.
Yeah, and you actually raised a good point. I'm glad you brought it up on the location as well. It really, look, there are small businesses, startups everywhere in the country, and where someone's going to do shoot is often based on convenience to either the client or the production company. We've had instances where we've had shoots where the entire crew has flown in from the West Coast because the owner of the company that was doing the shoot happened to live an hour away from us, or, you know, 45 minutes away from us. So it's really, and it's everywhere, right? So yeah, there's no real limits. I think anyone can do this. I think more people should do this. I mean, it's just, people just don't know about it. And because people don't know about it, there's not a lot of competition, right? I mean, it's, you know, if you sort of in your area, if there's a need for a shoot, you've got a pretty good chance of getting it because there's just not a lot of people doing this.
I want to take a moment to recognize one of our sponsors, Penumbra Solutions. Life Settlements Investments have allowed financial and banking institutions to not only buy their equity contractually, but also diversify their capital from any economic, market, and geopolitical risk. It's been part of the billion-dollar blueprint followed by institutional investors. If you're an accredited investor, you can also now participate in this vehicle with enormous growth potential. You can watch an informational webinar presented by one of the premier organizations providing life settlement investments, Penumbra Solutions, at cashflowninja.com/life settlements. That's cashflowninja.com/life settlements. The password to access that webinar is Penumbra, all lowercase. It's a blue ocean. And then other questions, how do I get started? Well, you mentioned some of the cost. Is, you know, professional photos to just stand out. There's platforms similar to kind of like an Airbnb.
Exactly.
Film shoot rentals, which some of them, they don't even cost you anything to list on. And then you're dealing with professionals. That's the other thing. So another, I would say, thought that people might had would be, well, you know, do I really want to let a bunch of strangers in my house? You already answered that. You can be there. They actually prefer that a person's there during the day. And that might be the thing to get beyond. Am I going to let a bunch of strangers into my house? I mean, from a financial standpoint, if you're home and you're there and people respect it and you're dealing with professionals and you've screened properly, I think the chances of success is very, very high. Just doing the work up front, right?
And I'll just chime in there and add to that on the concern about having people in your house. You know, if you use the right platforms, there's a lot of built-in protection in terms of, you know, any kind of property damage. You know, insurance, obviously you want to make sure that any crews coming to your house have the appropriate insurance. But if you screen properly to get the right crews, they all have that, right? They know the drill. That, you know, they're going to put out the proper floor protection, wall protection. And if there are any problems, they're going to get fixed, right? You know, we've never had any major issues. I think the biggest problem we ever had was, you know, one of our electrical outlets, something was plugged in that the electrical system in the house couldn't handle, kind of burned out. I don't know what the term is, but sort of broke the receptacle. The crew had their own electrician, handyman, ran out to the hardware store, came back, fixed it, you know, same day. So, I mean, it's, we've definitely had good experiences, and there are a lot of protections in place. If you do it right. Right.
Because one of the things that you mentioned, and this is business 101 again, you have to know who you are serving. And you shared that in your story. You know, if you're going to be the lowest price out there, you're gonna get what you get. So, who do you want to rent your home to? Is, you know, what type of professional kind of crew is it going to be? Again, they all are Walmart, Target, and Nordstrom. If you're going to price it at Walmart, you know, you're going to get a Walmart customer or client. If you're going to price it at Nordstrom, you're going to get a Nordstrom customer.
That's right. And I've found that a lot of these productions, they're not super price sensitive anyway. I think I mentioned before, when we first started, we didn't know what to price at, and we priced too low and got all kinds of inquiries. But as we've raised our price, you know, the demand has stayed constant. I think what happens is, you know, a client sees a space that they like, and they kind of, you know, make the decision. That's the space, right? And right. So whether it's, you know, $100, $200 difference an hour, if it's going to allow them to get what they need for their commercial or site content or photo shoot, they're going to pay it, right? And for someone that's going to, you know, it's also a kind of a nice screening method as well, as you alluded to, sort of the people who are going to have a problem with the price. You want to screen those tenants out, right? And you want to go with the just super professional crews. They're so organized, and they have very few issues.
Yeah. And if you think about it, the disruption kind of question too, if you do it for the Augusta rule, right, it's 14 days out of the year.
Yeah.
365 days a year. Yeah. It's only 14 days. So it's a kind of a nice side hustle that you can add. That's a very nice income stream, which doesn't take the time, effort, and focus and energy and a lot of the other longer term rental real estate investments take.
Yeah. And I'll just add a point on that I don't think I mentioned earlier, MC. So, you know, I think I mentioned I've got two kids, right? And you know, people may be wondering, how could I do this with kids? Well, you know, you don't, when you rent your home for shoots, you don't have to allow every space in your home. So for example, you know, we just don't even show any pictures of one of the bedrooms where for one child. And you know, one child is okay with it, another child isn't. So we've, you know, kind of eliminated that. And so, you know, we do it with kids. It's fine usually on weekdays. And I think, you know, we touch most shoots are during the week. So, you know, kids are at school. Might be a few hours overlap in the afternoon, but you know, totally doable for families as well. And yeah, we keep to under that, you know, keep it to 14 days. That's just our personal preference. I mean, if someone wants to really ramp it up, they certainly could. You can play with the pricing and supply. You know, the demand will shift a little bit. But even with a family, you know, I'm kind of proof that that's possible. So.
Is there any other kind of frequently asked questions or any negatives that we didn't touch on? You know, what are some of the negative aspects to this, and maybe another FAQ or two that we didn't touch on?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think the negatives really come into play if you're not screening properly, right? Like you can have, you can have issues, I think, with the, you know, potential damages, right? If you get an unprofessional crew that doesn't use floor protection, right? You know, there could be damages there. So that would be kind of one. But again, if you screen the guests right, then you know you're gonna be okay. I think that the other thing to watch out for is, you know, again, you really want to follow, you want to be a good member of your community, you know, so you want to make sure that crews aren't, you know, loitering in front of your neighbor's house and kind of, you know, smoking and kind of leaving cigarettes on the ground. All of that can be mitigated if you have the right communication plan in place. So, you know, over time, trial and error, we've learned about kind of put together a house rules, basically, that lists all of the guidance, things to, you know, do's and don'ts. And that's really helped out everything. Every time we kind of experience something, and I'll give an example, right? Even just being on the same page about start and end times. So, you know, like you said, most shoots are 10 to 12 hours. Typical shoot starts at 8 a.m. You know, to me, 8 a.m. is that's when people arrive and start. You know, one shoot, and I kind of learned this the hard way. I'd actually just gotten out of the shower. Doorbell rings, 6:30 a.m. You know, truck's there, crew's ready to go, and I answer the door. I'm like, you know, we're starting at 8 a.m. Oh yeah, well, we're not really going to start shooting until 8 a.m., but we're just going to load in. So I think that, you know, the challenge is you need to be a good communicator. This is from the very start, from, you know, screening your guests to, I've developed a series of communication strategies and touch points leading up to the actual shoot day, as well as during the shoot day, to make sure that everyone's on the same page, everything runs smoothly. So you want to make sure that is, you have that. And then the last kind of thing to watch out for that I would keep in mind is I really recommend people go through the platforms, right? There's some built-in protections. We made the mistake, you know, just to share one experience early on in our film shoot rental journey. It was a relatively small shoot. It was like under 10 people. So really, really easy. Should have been really easy. These guys submitted their permit to the town, and, you know, for whatever reason, the permit actually got rejected. So this was actually the only, out of all the times we've been doing this, we've only had one rejection. And it was such a small shoot. And I believe it really was just, they weren't asking for anything out of the ordinary. It's not like they were going to be setting off fireworks. I think these guys were just very kind of abrasive and difficult to work with. And the town basically just said, you know what, we don't have to deal with you, rejected. And they had also convinced us to bypass and not go through the platform, because they didn't want to pay. As I mentioned, the platform is free to list, but, you know, business model to make money, they take a percentage of the, take a small percentage of the revenue. And so these guys wanted to avoid that. And so we were kind of early in our film shoot rental journey. So we said, fine, it's such a small shoot, not a big deal. And when the town rejected them, they sent their legal department after us to pay for lost, you know, kind of the sunk costs. Like, it didn't crush us, you know, but it was still sort of like $1,000 or so that we negotiated down to that we had to pay them. So I think, you know, you really want to go through the right platforms, have the right contracts in place, you know, have the right insurance in place. There's a lot of details that you want to make sure that you do right, and that, you know, I've learned the hard way over time, but now it's a well-oiled machine, but there've been definitely been some bumps along the way. So
that is very, very important, because this, just as anything else, this is not a magic bullet. It's not a get rich quick kind of like scheme. It's like, no, this is a business. You have to look at it as a business and go about it as a business. So every business, you're going to deal with all of the many things that you have to deal with. There's a whole checklist for all those things, and the details that is associated with every business, that's usually where something comes to bite you, right? If you skip over the details, you don't do it properly, and you don't do it thoroughly. So that stuff is very, very important. And that's why I'm pretty excited. For our listeners and viewers that's interested in this and learning more about this, this might be your question if you're listening to it. I'm very excited because Josh put together a course, the Film Shoot Rental Roadmap, which is a course that walks you step by step through literally everything that you need to know to start earning income from renting your home for film shoots, photo shoots, and commercial production. So there's videos, there's all kinds of stuff in there. If you're interested in that course, you could go to cashflowninja.com/film-shoot-rental. That's FILM shoot rental, film shoot rental. Any information you could share about the course, Josh, and just some of the things that you cover in there? Because I think there's going to be a lot of people that's going to be very, very interested into looking into this.
Yeah. So, you know, look, we've been really successful with this. And like I said, it's just very little known. People just aren't aware of this. So that was a real motivator for me in creating this course. I wanted to educate other people and, you know, give other people the tools to be able to do this themselves. The course is very practical. So, you know, we start out everything you need to know to get started, right? Step by step. Then we take students through listing creation, right? How do you create your listing? How and where do you market? How do you price your listing for profitability so you're not leaving money on the table? I touched on, we have a whole module around communication strategies from, you know, the full life cycle, from when that initial inquiry comes in all the way up to shoot day and after. You know, we also cover the less common scenarios, right? Cover, you know, multi-day shoots, how to handle overtime requests, how to negotiate those awkward conversations. What happens when you run into issues, if you run into issues with your local municipality, or if you have damages, how to negotiate that and work through those. And I'm also excited to offer, you know, we also have a couple of expert interviews. So it's not just me in front of the camera the whole time. So some of you may know, I mean, I'm really excited that we're able to include a top real estate tax strategist. So some of you may know Amanda Hahn from Keystone CPA. She's been on a lot of podcasts. So we go into a bit of a deep dive interview with her on the ins and outs and every possible tax scenario, you know, that we have. I also include there's also an audio interview with a producer that we've worked with, which is really interesting to hear sort of the other side perspective. And from the producer's perspective, what makes a good host when you're renting your home for shoots? So, look, I think, you know, the course really helps someone go, it's a transformation, right? So it goes from, hey, this sounds great, I love the idea of making thousands of dollars of tax-free income per day without having to invest, you know, putting a down payment down. Where do I start? What do I do? You know, each of the modules is broken up into bite-sized lessons, you know, video lessons. There's a ton of additional downloadable templates that I use, right? Like these are the templates that I use, the screening intake call, right? Everything I ask, prospective productions. So yeah, I think I'm really excited for it. And I'm excited for it to help people. So yeah.
Awesome. And that's cashflowninja.com/film-shoot-rental. I want to take a moment to recognize one of our sponsors. My friend Dave Zook says, you can be conventional or you can be wealthy. Pick one. At The Real Asset Investor, Dave and his team bring their investors high-yield investment opportunities across several asset classes for cash flow, tax impact, and equity growth. He and his team are one of the top 5 ATM operators in the country, and they have an investment opportunity available to accredited investors right now in the ATM space. To learn more about their ATM funds that produce tax-free cash flow, visit therealassetinvestor.com. That's therealassetinvestor.com. Now, this show is about business, investing, and cash flow, of course. And this is a fantastic cash flow niche that you just talked about and shared. But we also talk about a legacy and not just leaving it and living it. So one of the questions I always ask our first-time guest is, if you can't leave any money to future generations and you can only leave them 3 principles or values to help them build wealth and achieve happiness and success, what would they be?
Sure. Yeah. Great question. I think the first thing, and I'm thinking about what kind of values do I want to instill to my own children? Number one, I would say don't be afraid to take risks, right? You know, in most cases, the worst case scenario, if something doesn't work out, you learn from it. You're still getting some education out of it. So that I think would be number one. I think number two, on a related note, you know, if you want something to change in your life, you need to take action, right? Don't do the same thing and expect your life to change, and don't wait and take that action now. I think lastly, you know, focus on continuous personal growth, right? Should be learning. You know, learning constantly, you know, that will only help you. So I think those are the three things.
Fantastic. Where can folks follow you? Where can they stay in touch and be informed of all of the projects that you're involved with?
Yeah. So I think, you know, email is best. I think you're going to put the info on the site for how people can find me, but josh@filmshootrentals.com.
Fantastic. And then, of course, the course at cashflowninja.com/film-shoot-rental. Josh, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your journey and your knowledge and just providing so much value for all of my listeners and viewers.
My pleasure. All right. Thanks, MC.
And thank you to you, the listener and the viewer, for again spending your most valuable resource, your time, once again with me on the show. Everything Cashflow Ninja is at cashflowninja.com. We've got three podcasts: Cashflow Ninja, Cashflow Investing Secrets, and Reset Investing Secrets. You can grab a copy of my book, The 21 Best Cashflow Niches. You can subscribe to our newsletter, The Best Cashflow Niches Newsletter, in which we share a brand new, well-researched cashflow niche every month. And if you're a business owner and investor that's looking to protect and build wealth during turbulent times, you can join my mastermind, Cashflow Nirvana. It's all at cashflowninja.com. Until next time, live infinitely. This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.